The Lord be with you. This is Reverend Lindsay again with part two of our Easter Day podcast, and I'm so glad you can listen in. Welcome, and Easter blessings to you and yours. Though, this is a strange Easter, isn't it? Strange to be celebrating by ourselves, maybe with friends or family if you live with them, but to be celebrating apart, home alone, when we would so much like to be together at church. And if you don't often go to church, except maybe Christmas Eve and Easter, for you it may be even worse. It's a long time till Christmas Eve. And I should be shouting, Alleluia! And I have, and I will, but it don't come easy this year. I feel, well, for those of you old enough to remember vinyl, or young enough to have discovered it, I feel like a needle stuck in a groove, stuck on repeat. I started to say stuck in Good Friday, but it's not quite like that. More like stuck in Holy Saturday, that odd, empty, in-between, limbo-y day. For those Marys that Matthew tells us about, that day was the Sabbath. They were stuck indoors, mostly. They certainly couldn't go out to the tomb to do the usual things they would have done, should have done, after the death of a loved one. Writing in Sojourners Magazine online this week, Jim Wallace said, "Many of us are losing people dear to us without the chance to say goodbye, to hold a hand, to embrace a final time. Then we are unable to see their bodies, to prepare them for burial, to gather in remembrance. Grief upon grief." That's what it was like for Jesus' friends, his family. No tender goodbyes, no carefully chosen casket or floral wreaths, no solemn rites or fond remembrances, just an unceremonious, if safe, disposal of the body, perhaps a quickly offered prayer. And then that long, endless, isolated Sabbath day to get through. That's where I'm still stuck. But Mary and Mary, as soon as they could, they went to the gravesite, like going to Heart Island, maybe. There wasn't much they could do. It was over, but they hadn't taken it in yet. Jesus had disappeared from their lives so quickly, so finally. They knew he was gone, but they couldn't stand it anymore to just sit at home alone with their grief. You know that old Paul Simon song, American Tune? And I don't know a soul who's not been battered. Don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. So the two Marys, souls battered, dreams shattered, go to the tomb. And then all hell breaks loose, or rather, all heaven breaks loose. The earth's very foundations rock. Earthquakes change things. Ooh, change them radically and forever. And then an angel descends and rolls away the tombstone. Pilate's guards faint dead away. But the angel says to the Marys, "Do not be afraid." Well, the women don't faint anyway. And the angel has a message. Jesus, who was crucified, is not here. He's been raised, like he said. See for yourselves. Then hurry and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead, and you will see him in Galilee. The women run off with fear and great joy to tell the other disciples. Fear and great joy. Of course there's fear, despite the angel's words. The ground has shifted under their feet. A startling angelic visitor has appeared, and apparently, the dead do not stay dead. Do not be afraid? Dude! But there was joy, too. Could it be true? So that's what he meant. Expecting the solemnity of death, the women find chaos and hope and go tearing off to share the news. And they run smack into Jesus. Greetings, he says, like, hey! Kind of nonchalant, but at any rate, they know right away it's really him. And they take hold of his feet, Matthew says, and worshiped him. That really gets me this time around. Not the worshiping, the taking hold, the touch. It's so forbidden, so dangerous to us now. Dr. Fauci said the other day that shaking hands could become a thing of the past in a post-coronavirus world. The simple, profound act of touch, the loving touch of a dear one, the casual touch of a new acquaintance, that's a loss. So I love that the women can touch the risen Christ. And I can imagine the fear and the joy. Do not be afraid, Jesus says, with that standard refrain of heavenly visitors, which Jesus raised, is now one of a heavenly visitor, was and is. If they weren't sure before, they are now. But then he says an even more amazing thing. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Go tell my brothers, he says, not the disciples, not that bunch of haters who ran out on me, who denied me. The risen Christ's first appearance was to those who had stood by him, the women. But his first message was for those who had fled. Whatever they did, why ever they did it, however much they doubted, however much they disappointed him, Jesus makes clear they are his brothers now. No divine vengeance here. Only forgiveness and welcome and love. And we can imagine that when the male disciples heard, they too were filled with fear and great joy. Because something had happened not only to Jesus and not only to them. Something had happened that would change the world. If this raising from the dead could happen, it could all happen. The last would be first. The poor in spirit and the poor in pocket would be blessed. Sin will be forgiven. We are reconciled to God. And those who want to follow Jesus must take up their cross, but doing so, they will find abundant life. In these past few weeks, many of us have experienced an inkling, at least, of what people living on society's margins experience every day. Limited or no access to food or money, to basic needs like health care, sanitation supplies, to running water. Such uncertainty, such fear. It's a good thing, really, for some of us, to be reminded how lucky and privileged we have been, to be grateful, and to remember why we are called to love our neighbors in very concrete ways, and to remember that abundant life never did and never will mean abundance of stuff. But really, I'm not ready for Easter. I'm stuck in coronavirus limbo. Nonetheless, Easter has come. And not a moment too soon this year. Not a moment too soon any year, really. For though we see and feel things particularly painfully this year, and perhaps particularly accurately, the truth is we are always battered and shattered, always tempted by despair, always surrounded by worldly fears, shaking from anxiety and loss, always haunted by the suffering and deaths of loved ones and strangers. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, the funeral liturgy says. But it adds, yet even at the grave we make our song. Alleluia! 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 Yes, I miss being in church with my people. I miss the happiness of the usual Easter day, the jelly beans and the lilies, the festivity and the fun. But maybe I've let happiness distract me from joy, the quiet, deep joy of knowing that Christ is alive, not only in us, but with us, among us, saying, hey, saying, do not fear. You are forgiven. You will see the living God in Galilee and in New York City, wearing a mask and PPE, maybe, standing 6 feet away in line at a food pantry, applauding out a window, delivering a meal, at loose in the world. Friend, I bring you tidings of fear and great joy. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. 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 Amen.